Bibles this morning to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. David starts out with these words, "To you, O Lord, I will lift up my soul. O my God, I will trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can come here and worship you, song, reading your word. Lord, we need to hear from you today. We need to let the Holy Spirit touch our lives. Lord, we need to change our lives. And Lord, I pray today that you will speak to our hearts as we sit here and listen to your word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit stir within us that fire that we once had when we were saved. Lord, pray for those that may not know you, that they may come to trust you today before it's too late. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. I was talking to a man not long back. We were sitting and talking, and he said, "My journey's almost over, preacher, and I will see the Lord face to face. I want to just thank him for guiding me along life's journey." And I thought, well, that sounds very scriptural, and we ought to let God guide our lives. The psalmist in Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2 says, "I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Now listen as I again read this passage of scripture. "To you, O Lord, I will lift up my soul." David realizes as he's writing this scripture that life is a journey. We are on that journey, folks. All through the Bible, it teaches us that we are sojourners in this world. We're not to settle down in this world, but as we go through this world, we need to remember who God is and what he's done for us. And all of us today, we need to ask ourselves about the Lord, and we need to say, "Lord, show us your ways." Now, the psalmist says some principles here about life. If we're going to make it through this journey, Lord, we need to know your ways. That word ways means your paths as we journey. You know, I watch people all the time. They're out on life's highway, and they're making decisions one after the other. We're on a journey through this world, and every decision we make, we need to make it in God's will. And we need to pray, "God, show us your course for our life." We've all got different courses. We're all doing different things for God. David wanted to be that person that God wanted him to be in his life. And he says, "Lord, I need to know your ways." Now, to be honest, most of us, we know God, don't we? We know about God. You ask a person about, "What do you think about God?" Well, we know that he's a God of love. You know that. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And people will tell you, "Well, God is love." And then we also know that God is a God of grace. He loves people, and He wants to forgive people. So we know that God is a God of love, and God is a God of grace. And we know, most people will tell you, He cares for people. For God so loved the world that He went to the old rugged cross and died for us, that we might have life. But you know, a lot of people know those facts, that God is love, His forgiveness, His grace, and that He died on the cross. But a lot of people know those facts, but they don't know God personally. Like the man in the movie, if y'all haven't seen the movie, come. If you've seen it, come. I'm going to be here. It's just going to be a great time. I can watch this. Who is Jesus to you, he says. Well, the man answered, and, you know, but who is Jesus to you this morning? We have experienced the things about God, but we really don't have a personal relationship with God. Many of the cases. Now, Moses in Exodus 33:13 said, Lord, show me your way that I may know you. Let me understand the course of my life that I may know you personally. You see, Moses wanted to know God in a personal way. I think we all should do that. We ought to know God in that personal way. Look at Psalm 103, verse 7. It said, God made known His ways to Moses. We need to ask God this morning on our journey through life, Lord, would you show me your ways for my life? We want to be acquainted with Him and know Him in a personal way. You see, I know you. I may not know all about you, but I know many of you. And I know what you're like. But I really don't know if you've got a close relationship with God unless you let me know it and you show it in my life. And that's what David wanted. Show me your ways, O Lord. And not only that, he wanted to know the power of His ways. And teach me. In the Old Testament, the prophets, they knew about the ways of God. Moses, one of the great men of God there, desired to know God and know His ways. David desired to know God. We've all already heard how Moses wanted to know God's ways. But even the children of Israel, they had an acquaintance with God. They saw the miracles of God. They saw the power of God. And even then, many of them didn't know God personally. They didn't step out and trust God by faith. They knew all about His power. They knew all about the miracles. To Joshua, you go back and read about Joshua in the Old Testament. God's power was demonstrated to him over and over and over. And the waters of the Jordan, they walked through. When they got to Jericho, the walls fell. Even Rahab, the harlot, had heard about God and the power and what He was doing in the children of Israel's life. They knew about the power of God. David in 1 Chronicles 17:20 says, Lord, there is none like you. Amen. We can say that. There is none like our God, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Man, I tell you what, can you say this morning with surety in your heart, you know God personally? God, show me your way for my life. Show me your power in my life. You see, we need revival in our life. Our country needs revival. We ought to be saying, Lord, show us your ways. And we will not see God's will if we're not willing to commit to Him our whole life. You see, we've got to commit to God our lives for Him to just Show us his way. Teach me your paths, it says in verse 4. Be willing to be led as we journey through this life. We need to ask God, God, show me the direction for you or for me in my life. Years ago, back 1985 now, excuse me, we came to this church, my wife and I and our two little boys at that time. They're very young. And we asked God then, Lord, if this be the church you want us to be, give us that peace and power. Let us just see your perfect will in this. And we did. I never will forget leaving here that Sunday night and heading back out across 334, across the river bridge there, across the bridge there where the water is, thinking, you know, God, this is a place. Give us the courage to step out by faith and go there. And God did. God always does. He'll show you his will for your life if we're willing to commit our lives to that will. Many of you have asked about our boy. We've got two boys. One of them you know real good. Zach, he's been here many times. And a lot of people say, well, I wish you would get him home. It's not up to me to get him home. I am concerned about him just like you're concerned about him, probably even more. But I know that he has to follow God's will for his life. And he's over there and we're over here. And boy, I'll tell you what, we pray all the time. God, keep them safe. Guide them, lead them in the right decisions they make. And he is safe right now, y'all. We're tickled to death. He's in Korea right now with his in-laws, but they're in a missionary house there, and they're working in missions there. And they'll be there to this month's over anyhow. Going back, that's just up to the government there. So whatever they do, we know that they'll do what God calls them to do. And we pray for them. But God's power is there in their lives, and he's here in our life, and he's here in y'all's life. And we, as we journey what God has given us to do, we must do that. If we're not going to do what God asks us to do, we can't say, Lord, show us your way and teach us your path. Our journey through life, we need to know the direction God wants to give us. That word could be, Lord, pilot my life. Take me where you want to go. When I was just a young boy, I never will forget, I had a father that he was very interested in our lives and doing things with us. And, you know, as you know that I loved to hunt, and he did too. But when I was just a little bitty boy, I couldn't have been over 8 years old, I can remember he would take me out and we'd go hunting, and he would show me what to look for to find game and what to look at to find game. How to know what a deer track was or where there's a squirrel or, you know, things like that. I was soaking in all of that information so that I could learn to go where I could get out and not get lost. And man, I went all over the woods, and I became familiar with the surroundings in those woods. And I would soon go out there on my own, and I could leave our house where we lived and walk a mile, and I'd be in the river bottom. And oh, I loved to go there in the evenings and just sit there and hunt and watch the wild nature go by. My father showed me those things. My heavenly father is just the same. He has a will for my life and a will for your life. And he shows us how to live out His will for our life in the Word of God. Now, this is not just any old book. This is the living Word, I believe, of God. I believe it from front to back. I know if I take this Bible and I read it, and it's God speaking to me today. And as these words just jump off the page in life, God's Holy Spirit deals with our heart. Our Heavenly Father, show us the kind of life that we're to live. And let Him show you, like David cried out, show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your path. That trail that I'm to follow in living. He wanted to understand God better and better in his life. That's what he desired. And I think one of the greatest tragedies of the life of a Christian is to live and die and never understand what God's will is for your life. He's not playing hide and go seek with us. It's there. You ask him to show you his will. And let me tell you, your heart's desire will be there. And you'll know when you're going to do God's will. And, oh, let me tell you, if you want peace that passes all understanding, you get in the center of his will and you live there. If you don't have the peace that passes all understanding, you're probably not in the center of his will. Because it doesn't make any difference how bad things get in this life. If you're in God's will, you know that he is protecting you. He guides you. You're his. Nothing that happens is going to harm you. Because you've got God beside you. He takes care of you. Most of us never know God's will because, one, we're not willing to do his will when he shows us his will. You see? We're not patient enough. We've got to be patient. Did you know it was a whole year of me trying to do what I wanted to do, and I couldn't find a church anywhere? Did you know that 1985, I spent all of 1984 trying to do what I wanted to do instead of what God wanted me to do? And I was mad at God. I was mad at the church that I was at. I was mad at everybody. So my wife, you don't get mad at her. If you're smart, you don't get mad at your wife and family. But I was mad at my pastor. You know, I was mad at God. I said, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And this is the way I went about it. You may be that. Lord, show me your will for my life. I want to do this. I want to go here. That doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. Someone said years ago, I forget who wrote it, but a famous man of God, said, you get out a piece of paper and you start writing and telling God what you want to do in your life. And that's the way I did it. I got out my little piece of paper and I said, Lord, I want to do this. Lord, I want to do this. Now hurry up and get me there. And you know what? He didn't answer me at all. And some guy said one time, you get out a piece of paper and you sign it at the bottom. Put your name there. And then give it to God and let him fill it out. Whatever he says, you do it. And did you know, after I got mad at God, after I threw a temper tantrum, we could have them too, you know, Kids have them all the time. And a grown-up is just ridiculous, but we do it. And I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm not going to help you out anymore because you're not doing what I want to do. And you know what? God said, okay, you just sit there like a knot on the log. My wife said, why don't you pray about it? Oh, why does she get scriptural on me? And she says, you need to go back over there and apologize to the pastor. Oh, I don't want to apologize. That means you have to humble yourself, doesn't it? That means you have to say you've been acting like a kid all along. But it was only then when I went back and I said, Brother Roy and I are still friends to this day. One of the best pastor friends I've got in life. I said, Brother Roy, I messed up royally. I owe you an apology. I'll go to camp. I'll do whatever you want me to do. He wanted me to go down to camp and teach a bunch of fourth and fifth grade boys. I didn't want to do that. Those boys are at camp, they're stinking, they're dirty. You know, they don't want to listen to you. But I said, okay, Brother Roy, if that's what you want, I'll do it. And you know, I went to camp that summer with that kind of attitude, whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. Got down there and talked to those boys, and two guys from this church was there with their boys. Never will forget it. That evening, a call came. Brother Roy said, Booney, come down here to the director's office. I said, whoa, what did I do wrong this time? I went into the director's office, and there was two guys, Mike McPherson and W.O. Venable. And Roy said, these two guys are looking for a pastor for their church. I said, oh, praise God. That's what I want to do, pastor a church. And I went back and I said, Lord, if that's where you want me, let this thing work out. Whatever your will is, that's what I want. And here I am, 34 years later. You know, that's what you do when you get out of the way. God, show me your ways. And Lord, teach me your paths. You let God have the reins in your life. You start doing what he wants you to do instead of what you want to do. Paul speaks of the issue of doing the will of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. And once a believer understands the will of God for their life, they should be faithful in fulfilling that will. Let me ask you this morning again, has God showed you his will for your life? Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Let God have the reins. I was telling somebody, when I was just a kid, I had the best life in the world. I was just a kid. I was out there in the country, and we had a nice farm, and we had, oh, you name it, we had it. Y'all know what guineas are? Guineas are those watchdogs, but they've got feathers on them. Anything comes around, they're going to make a noise out of this world. Armadillos, man, we had them. We had every kind of animal you could think of out there. Horses, cows, goats, pigs. Man, we just had a fun time. I had an old horse. Her name was Candy. She was an albino quarter horse. I wanted her from the first time I saw her, and Daddy told me, she said, you learn to play the piano? I will buy you that horse. I learned to play the piano. He bought me that horse. That horse, I had that horse so gentle. I could ride her. I told somebody, you didn't even need a bridle. That's the thing to put on heads, to guide them around with. You didn't need a saddle. You just take her mane and throw yourself up on her. I say, Candy, let's go to Recklaw. Man, she would go to Recklaw. You didn't need to do nothing. I rode her backwards a lot of times, so I'd wave at the traffic when it went by. I had that horse just doing exactly what I wanted because I loved her. I fed her good. She was my pet. One day, I went and tied her up at my grandmother's house, which is across the rail tracks from the tomato shed. I worked at the tomato shed in the summertime and tomato seasons, and I tied her up on a limb, and that's where she stayed all day, under that mimosa tree. When I got off work one day, I went over there, and she was not there. Man, I said, somebody's just stole my horse. Boy, I got excited. I almost had to get some tissue. I was going to cry if somebody stole my horse. That horse was my pet, and she was gone. I went and asked Grandma. I said, Grandma, where'd my horse go? She said, I don't know. What'd you do with it? I said, I tied her to that limb out there. You know what? I called my mother. I said, Mom, somebody just stole my horse. I was sad. She said, no, Bunny, your horse is out here at the pen. She came home. She knew the way home. That was over two and a half miles. That horse was good. I had to walk those 2.5 miles. It wasn't so good that day. But that horse knew the paths to follow. She wasn't going to get lost. You know, when we have God as our guide and we let Him control our life, He'll lead us home every time. That godly home. Oh, He's the way home, folks. And then David says, lead me in your truth and teach me. Guidance begins with the Word of God, for the Word of God is truth. Have you ever thought about that? Truth, the psalmist desires, to know God's Word. John 17:7 says, the Word of God is truth. And friends, when it comes to the Word of God, it's like I said a while ago, every single word in this book, all of it's true. Man, my foot stands on an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. I sit up here a while ago and I could just, if I died right then, I'd been pleased to go on to be with the Lord. It was so good. I don't know where your mind is when they're singing, but mine's on heaven. I know they sounded heavenly a while ago. Just think about what it's going to be when we enter into heaven and all the angels and them people are singing to the praise of God. Psalmist says, teach me. He wants God to instruct him. He desires knowledge of what God's word says. Enlighten me. That's what he's saying. Friends, God, people need to know what the Bible says. You know what the sad thing is? I read a deal the other day. It says less than half of the people can name the Old Testament books in the Bible that are in the church. Now, you think about that. Less than half the people. That's a shame, isn't it? It's a sad thing when most of the believers in church can't tell you the town which Jesus was born in or where his home, considered home, was. Brother Perry said this morning, somebody said, this is true in the Bible. No, that old saying, God helps those that help themselves? That's not in the Bible. It's not even scriptural. I believe God helps those who can't help themselves. And they're willing to humble themselves before God and say, God, help me in this area. Folks, He will. And we are enlightened in the Word of God. We can live in the Word of truth. You know, somebody said, well, I don't know if that's right or not. Well, you get in the Word of God and He'll tell you. You know, I believe the way Brother Perry talks about on Wednesday night, drinking has no place, of liquor has no place in the life of a Christian. Just it does nothing but bring a person down. You know, I think they ought to outlaw it altogether. I don't understand why it kills more people than guns do. Think about it. And we don't outlaw that. It makes more families split up. It's damaging, and it has no place in our life. And I believe, well, it's in the Bible. They drank in the Bible. Not like that. If you had a better understanding of the Bible, you would know that. You see, we don't really know what the Bible says, and we need to ask God to show us and teach us what we need to learn as we travel through this life. There's all kinds of heartaches. There's all kinds of valleys that we go through. We need God to guide us. Someone says, oh, I read the Bible through every year. But you're reading it like a newspaper. It can't be read that way. I read it when I read it. I read it like a letter from home. Because that's what it is. God's love letter to us. Oh, folks, that's the way we need to live our lives. Lord, teach us. Lord, guide us. Lord, show us your truth in the Word that we might live in that truth. The promises God gives to receive are blessings on every page of the Bible. If you just look at them. If you have problems in life, all you have to do is turn over to the book of Job and read that. If you're hard-headed, you look at back at Moses. I talked about him earlier. If you have a weakness, look at old Elijah. Look at Paul and his writings and the troubles that he had. That all increased your faith a whole lot. Folks, this Bible is more than just a book to learn. It's to live by. Every page to live by. Let God show you this morning. Let Him show you His ways for your life. Let Him show you His will for your life. Let Him show you His word for your life. Ways, will, and word. The first thing we need in this life, if we're going to let God guide us, is salvation. Look what it says. Lead me in the path of truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day long. The first thing we need is salvation in our life. Let me tell you this. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you won't know His will until you get saved. Because that's the will of God for you to be saved. He came that you might have life. He came and died on the cross that you might have life. That's God's will. He said, I will that none should perish, but that all should have eternal life. You have to make that choice to turn loose of your life, repent, and go to God this morning. Simply by faith, all you have to do is say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I've never trusted you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my life and live in my life. I guarantee you, the Bible says that He will save you. If you want Him to, He will save you. How do you know if God's speaking to you? Let me tell you right now, if you feel the need of salvation in your life, it's God speaking to you. It's not me. It's God speaking to you. Would you come to Him? You must be saved. It begins with salvation. The second step, if you're going to let God guide you, is humbly. Humbly bow down before Him and confess Him as Lord. Are you willing to do that? Simply come to the front and say, Preacher, this morning I want Christ to come into my life. I'm going to profess him as Lord in my life, and then turn and start living for Him. He will give you salvation. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. David says, Lord, pardon my iniquity, cleanse me. If God is to lead us, we must confess our sin. That's important. We must come to Him and start by salvation. And then when we are saved, you can say, Lord, now show me your ways. Guide me in your paths. And lead me in your truth. If you're here this morning, would you come to Christ? Oh, let Him guide you. Let Him guide you. It'll be a great day in your life when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings in life. We thank you, Lord, for guiding us, teaching us. Lord, at this time, if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, Lord, whether it's just to get on their knees before God and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life and I want to live for you, or whether it's a service or whatever, Lord, let us come, make that choice known to you. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.